This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Tony Scott's exhibit, Bloodlines, is an exploration of not only African-American history, but her own personal ancestry. Tall, lifelike sculptures align the gallery in Bloodlines, along with images of cotton fields and photographs of those who were enslaved. She uses the story of her maternal line to guide the viewer's journey through the violent history of slavery and oppression. Tony Scott is a sculptor, painter, and multimedia artist from Los Angeles. Her exhibit, Bloodlines, is on view at the Sonia Haynes Stone Center at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill from today through April 26th. And Tony Scott is with me on the program right now. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
What made you decide to trace your ancestry?
Well, I was very fortunate. My uncle, Richard Pucello, spent 10 years researching our family after my grandmother passed away. So he went through her estate and found documents that were, you know, very intriguing and interesting. So he pursued it. He gifted the family a volume that I think it's about 400 pages of history, and that really kickstarted my interest and was really the seed that planted the tree for that yielded Bloodlines. So
it is Priscello. It was an Italian surname. It sounds to my ear. You have African American ancestry, Native American ancestry. Did all of this? How much of that did you know before your father began his work?
My uncle. There were several stories that my grandmother shared and my father shared, and you know, so I had, you know, bits and pieces, but I didn't have the full story. I didn't have the documentation. Getting the documentation was transformative, you know, and that included, you know, stories from England all the way to and 438 years, all the way to contemporary times, and also DNA testing with one of the slave-owning families. So a lot of very interesting things came out of that.
Well, when did you decide to be an artist, and how was your art influenced by your ancestry or vice versa?
Well, I've been an artist for about 30 years, and there's now five generations of artists on my mother's side and on my father's side. My father, sort of, you know, a man that could make anything, build anything, and his father. So I guess it was just a natural progression. My early works, you know, were more abstract and contemporary, but I came, you know, to a place in my life where I felt a social responsibility to have a greater conversation about issues because of being gifted with that information. So, you know, my ethnicity is really, you know, the foundation for having that interest, you know, the diversity. And it includes Native American. My tribe is Creek. The umbrella tribe is Creek, but my particular tribe is Tuskegee. I have my citizenship with the Muskegee Creek Nation. And I also have European and African ethnicity roots.
Part of your exhibit includes sculpture that represents the Middle Passage, Africans being taken into slavery by ship in the United States. It's compelling work. It's wrenching work. And it seems at first sight to be something unique to, in particular to, African-American history, and certainly it is. You have a way of making it part of our story as well. Is that sort of at the root of what you're trying to do?
Absolutely. You know, Bloodlines is more than just a blood connection. It's a kinship. It's a relationship. It's shared journeys. And so it's an American story. You know, however you fit into it, if you're an American, this is a part of, you know, your legacy, and you're also reaping the benefits too of some of the things that happened at the time that, you know, made this country rich.
You used part of your research included finding slave narratives, and I know you've brought one with you. Is this part of your in your family and part of the bloodline?
Well, it is not, but I do have the names of 21 ancestors that were slaves. I have information leading to three plantations here in the South, and some of the bits and pieces of stories from relatives. But mainly what drove this interest in the narratives was just, you know, wanting to know more about American history. And when I found this narrative, I looked at it and it just made me think of several of my ancestors that were slaves, and any one of them could have had this story. So that really played a big part in just, you know, getting Bloodlines started and really wanting to say something more about, you know, our country and our history.
Will you read that one for us? Maybe tell us a little bit about who it is.
It's Dahlia Garlick, and it's from, again, the slave narratives, which are in the Library of Congress. President Roosevelt sent writers out in the field during the 30s and 40s to chronicle these stories. And so this particular story was the first one that I read and led to the beginning of My Slave Cabin, which is filled with narratives. "I was growed up when the war come," she said, "and I was a mother before it closed. Babies was snatched from their mother's breasts and sold to speculators. Chillens was separated from sisters and brothers and never saw each other again. Of course they cry. You think they don't cry when they sold like cattle? I could tell you about it all day, but even then you couldn't guess the awfulness of it. It's bad to belong to folks that own you soul and body, that can tie you up to a tree with your face to the tree and your arms fastened tight round it, who take a long curling whip and draw the blood with every lick. Folks a mile away could hear them awful whippings. There was a terrible part of living."
Tony Scott reading part of a slave narrative and some of the motivation behind her exhibit Bloodlines, which is on display today through, I think it goes through April 26th.
Absolutely.
At the Sonia Haynes Stone Center at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. How does your multiracial ancestry and that identity complicate the way you tell the African-American piece of the story?
It's all relative. Growing up, biracial and looking, finding my own self identity. Where do I fit in? Because there were things that just set me apart. That foundation and that quest to understand and try to put it all together, is integral again to wanting to tell this story.
The statues in Bloodlines have individual and unique faces. How did you get models for those? Did you use models?
I don't use models for my sculpture. What I do is I like to look at a lot of different pictures to get an angle, an eye, a nose, a mouth. That's about 30% of it. And then the rest is very intuitive, which, it's like from a collective memory of faces, which I like. It's explorative and something that's more intuitive.
You insert yourself in many of the pieces.
Some people say so, but I don't see myself in it. But I think most artists, that's the face I grew up with. So it's going to find its way in my art, probably.
There are also sort of anachronistic figures superimposed or planted within.
Yes.
Some of your pieces.
Well, I like art that continues to reveal itself. The longer you look at it, you see something different. And I think that, it really just, charges the imagination. And it just makes, I think, for a good story, what it's, just sort of layers like an onion that peel back and just tell you something more about, what it is that you are seeing.
I'm interested in the use of newspaper in some of your pieces as well.
Well, narratives have been a great motivator for big movements, for presidential elections and those that are elected, and also for, sources of inspiration. So those clippings are from, from narratives that I've downloaded and treated with, different processing to give it an age and then to apply that. And they're quotes like, without a struggle, there is no progress, Frederick Douglass, or I Have a Dream, Dr. King. So, these are big stories or statements or narratives that really have transformed the world.
You have a piece in the exhibit of a figure bending over, apparently wrapped in cotton with cotton on its back. And I say it's because it doesn't look particularly like – it's not a pure representation of a human,
right.
But it's obviously a human form. And what you capture in that is the agony of that position. You look at that and you're instantly – your back hurts. And that seems to be part of, I guess, what you're going for and how we can identify with –
Absolutely.
Like.
Telling the story about slavery in America, it's it can be a challenging story. And I didn't want it to be overwhelming because I know a lot of, kids were going to come through the exhibit or see it at, different pieces of it at other places or here. So, how does an artist tell that story? So there were elements that I really considered and played out in the installation, like using a big wall of green for my family tree, or lots of blue for the transatlantic slave trade, or the cotton picker. So you don't see an actual person, but you do feel the weight of it. And it's so abstracted that, you can sort of read and come up with your own story. It doesn't tell you that. It leaves that, you know, some imagination, but also tells you the story as well.
And that is my way in. That is when I can identify, and I'm being invited to identify with that and not a particular people's story. But I can't walk away not knowing that that is a particular person's story, and a group of people. So you also combine different mediums to tell the story, sculpture, paintings, collage, fiber. How do the pieces work together? Did you see them as an exhibit when you're putting them together, or are they individual pieces?
Not at first. CCH Pounder, the actress, came to my studio and gave me my first solo show. And she said, you know, she suggested, I kind of call her the godmother of, you know, Bloodlines, because she inspired the installation idea. But so collectively, I had the different pieces, but I just hadn't, you know, coordinated them. So I think, you know, it's wonderful to be able to express myself in different mediums. And some mediums, you know, are better expressed in, you know, in that that medium itself, as opposed to trying to say it in photography or painting or something like that. So there are elements that that grew, like the slave cabin that you walk into is 12 feet square. You hear the voices of slaves. You read their stories. You're surrounded, ceiling, floor, walls, everything with their narratives. You know, that started as a panel, and then it became a room. So not everything is played out, but, you know, it does lead to something.
Have some pieces started out in one medium and then you scrapped it and said, oh, no, it has to be this?
Yeah, you know, definitely. Like the body castings on the slave ship, you know. My first piece I made like 30 years ago. And it was something that I, you know, thought would be a good medium, or I thought maybe I'd, you know, sculpt the piece instead, but it turned out to be the right medium. So, you know, part of what I do is experiment and see what works, you know.
What's interesting is that you allow people to, and in fact invite people to respond. And the responses are, what kind of responses are you getting?
Well, you know, a lot of emotions, you know, particularly the installation that I had at the California African American Museum and the pieces that are here now. When you look at the slave narrative books that are on display, I mean, I think it just brings it real. You know, I mean, we can't go back in time and be there, but, you know, seeing something or touching something, it draws on that part. And that's the part I want. I want people to feel. I want you to cry. I want you to feel empathy. I think that the more that we exercise that heart muscle, the higher we become, you know, on the level of humanity. So you just feel a little bit more, maybe a little nicer to your neighbor, you know, after you cried a bit and felt the pain of someone else. So I like the emotional impact. I think it's important.
And also expand the definition and scope of who your neighbor is.
Yes.
Tony Scott, pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tony Scott is a sculptor, painter, and multimedia artist from Los Angeles. Her exhibit, Bloodlines, is on view at the Sonia Haynes Stone Center, University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, from today through April 26th. And she's going to give an artist talk at the Stone Center tonight at 7 o'clock. That's our program. You can look for our past editions or archived editions of our program at stateofthings.org. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.